Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. To whom are you enslaved? This is a question that Jesus Christ asked often. And we do well to ask ourselves the same question every day. You are enslaved to the one you obey. You are enslaved to the boss that you choose. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Say this. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him enough to listen to his message, if you continue in my word, maybe you will, maybe you won't, you have a choice, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The Pharisees answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, and the son does not remain forever. So if God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes you free, you'll be free indeed. So the truth of the Word of God offers freedom to those who come to it. But the Pharisees, as they were listening to Jesus Christ and saying that they weren't enslaved, sounded a lot like Nicodemus. They were oblivious to the message that the Lord was sending them. And without even thinking very deeply about it, these men who were in Adam were very much slaves to sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was not their boss. So for these Jews, the Lord's message was, all racial Jews are not spiritual Jews. And Paul introduces that whole subject in Romans chapter 9. Enslaving yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth that will set you free. You are encouraged to make the unpopular choice. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 say this, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to the resurrection life, and there are few who find it. I had a friend of mine over in Germany tell me, you know, I believe in God, but zooming into the Jesus Christ part, I haven't really thought much about that. Well, it's interesting that Jesus Christ is the narrow gate, right? So you need to zoom into that part. You need to not stay general about things like this. Well, there are many who choose to remain in Adam, and there are few who choose to be in Christ. Welcome to a place where you can choose the boss who is your sovereign. So as God prepares our souls for learning in this lesson, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. Your sins are not the issue in salvation. Your choice of a boss is. And here's June Murphy to sing the opening song, He Remembers to Forget.
Kept from heaven because of their sins. Salvation's door is open, whosoever can enter in. Christ died for the whole world, all you need is to believe. God wants none to perish. Your sins aren't a memory. He remembers to forget, and He has never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us, and yes, He remembers, He remembers. He remembers to forget. God is ever faithful. Our God cannot lie. when stumbling into sinfulness, we need not hide, 'cause God keeps his promises, all that he has made. Restoration is provided, and we can boldly say, sins are cast from us, and yes, he remembers, he remembers, he remembers to forget. Sins won't be mentioned at the judgment seat of Christ, nor at the white throne judgment, where he'll open the book of life. Deeds will be evaluated to see if they're done in the light. No good deed of the unsaved gets them to heaven. They rejected Christ, and then of life, he remembers to forget, and he has never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us, and yes, he remembers, he remembers, he remembers to forget. For eternal life, salvation's up Christ's sleeve, then he'll remember you, he'll remember you, he'll remember you, never to
June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for forgetting our sins, for putting our sins and death far out of our way. Challenge us to take the free gifts that you have given us and to use them in grateful service to you. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, today's study, select the boss that leads you to life. Select the boss that leads you to life. Whom do you choose to be enslaved to? Paul announced his choice in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. He said this. He said, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, by calling an apostle, set apart by God the Father for the dissemination of the gospel of God. He set himself apart as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He is a slave of Christ. He is in Christ, and that's who he was serving. All slaves have a boss. All slaves have a master. Who is your master? We encourage you to select a boss that leads you to the resurrection life. John chapter 10, verse 10b says, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, came that whosoever may have the resurrection life, and have it abundantly. So that's what we'll be studying today, you selecting the boss that leads you to life. First, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is December 14th. 2014. Mark your calendars. No face-to-face teaching on December 7th and December 28th, but lessons will be provided online. Mark your calendars. We will have an afternoon lesson on December 21st, 2014, from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Yeah, is that what I'm thinking it is? So can we move it? Yeah, move it closer. Can we move it 1 week closer? Yeah, check in with them. Yeah, that would be good. I knew that. As soon as I wrote that down, I knew that was going to be that. So, but if we can move it either way, that would be great. Like Barah Ministries on Facebook. We're building an online community. And get your friends to like us today. Happy birthday to Beth McLaughlin, one of our non-resident congregation members out in snowy Pennsylvania, who had a birthday on November 17th. Happy birthday to Pat Collins, who had a birthday last Thursday, is that right? The 20th. And happy birthday to Tracy Bixby, who coordinates our online community from, I think, Santa Rosa, California. That's the area that got shook up a little bit earlier in the year. I hope things have stopped shaking, Tracy. So that's it. Happy birthday. The offering is next with Deacon Denny Goodall. This is a time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world that can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge via the internet or via face-to-face teaching. So let's remember to give with the motivation that is suggested in Scripture, and that is each one of us must do just what has been purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. My tongue's not working today very well because God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. You're not supposed to taunt your
head. Good morning. It's a touch loud. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. So we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. We've been having the topic of slavery lately, and I thought of a new yoke of slavery that we get, which is a slavery to public opinion. And there's so many things that we can be a slave to, but that's something I feel like sneaks in all the time and cuts us out at the knees when we try to give the gospel to everybody. Because, you know, we're all going to paradise, and we want everybody else that's lost to know about paradise and to go to paradise. And it finally hit me in Luke chapter 23 when Jesus is on the cross next to the slave, or next to the criminal, the thief. And that thief is the ultimate slave. Right? He's stuck on the cross. He can't do anything. And all he does is ask God, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, today with me you'll be in paradise. He didn't do anything, the slave, the ultimate slave on the cross there. And he didn't get down. He didn't get baptized. He didn't get down. He didn't do nice things and help old ladies across the street. He didn't wash people's feet. He sat there and asked God, and that's it. God did all the work. And I think that same slavery applies to us when we think about public opinion as we try to entertain the gospel with people. You know, we think we have to do the work. We have to have this perfect thing to say, and it's not. It's just let God do the work in the same way. You're just tied up standing there, and just give him the chance to know about Christ. That's all you have to do. He'll spur it on. The Spirit will spur it on in their soul. So today I'm not asking for money. I'm asking for you guys to go get souls. Bring more people here. Then we'll have more wallets. So my verse for today is something that I believe it connects in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It doesn't say seek and feel bad when they reject. It says just seek and save. Seek them. Because they're lost, and we know the truth. We know where paradise is. Who doesn't want to come to paradise? So thank you for continually giving to this church of your time, your talent, and your treasure.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am
today's study: select the boss that leads you to life. Select the boss that leads you to life. The Lord Jesus Christ, who calls himself, among other things, the Son of Man, came not to just seek and to restore that which was lost, not just that, but to completely replace that which was lost with a brand new you. Thanks, Denny, for your excellent message. And seeking and saving the lost means completely replacing, just like you'll do with the earth and the universe at a point. The earth and the universe as we know it will be destroyed, and there will be a new earth and a new universe which has no ocean. And you can see that up in Revelation chapter 21. So this is a week of thanksgiving. And in thanksgiving, we praise the Lord Jesus Christ for his generosity in giving us back the life that we were robbed of by Satan and the kingdom of death. So let's look at Romans chapter 5. And start looking at in the detail of these verses. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And we'll get through a few of those verses today in detail. And what we want to see is we know so far that this passage about is the tale of two. But we want to see what the depth is that we need to learn about the two. And there's a single message that goes all the way through this passage. That's a really important message for you to know, and I think Denny highlighted that message very, very well in his offering message. Although I was very concerned about helping the old ladies across the street. Dorothy, your great grandson, whatever. If he's your great grandson, he's not so great, right? He doesn't want you to get helped across the street. But I definitely want you to get helped across the street. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as the plan of salvation by one single Redeemer is the same as the other, therefore the plan of salvation by one single Redeemer is the same as the other plan." What other plan? "That justice through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. The human race fell because of one man's sin, Adam. So just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and then death through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all men were considered by God to have sinned when Adam sinned." The important idea to bring forward about this verse is a thing that permeates every bit of this passage. And that is what happened to every human being, including you, when the federal head of the human race sinned. His sin created a situation for all of us. And that situation is death, both spiritual death and physical death. That's why Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4 says, "Don't trust in princes. Don't trust in mankind. Don't place your trust in mortal men like Adam, in whom there is no salvation." In Adam is an untenable position that you start out in. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. He either gets cremated or buried. And in that very day of his physical death, his thoughts perish. Now, as the representative of the human race, the result of Adam's work was passed on to us. In this passage, more than anything else, the Lord wants us to know, and he allows Paul to illuminate the point in the passage, that our salvation or our lack of salvation does not come because of our actions. Let me repeat that. Your salvation does not come, nor is your salvation denied because of your actions, but because of your acceptance of the action of a representative who is standing in your behalf, in Adam or in Christ. You pick one of them. Now, the pick of in Adam was not your fault. You were placed in Adam at physical birth. You got the sin of Adam at physical birth. That's not your problem. What is your problem is that once you know that, you stay there. Then that becomes your problem. Because you don't have to stay there, you can move out of that spot. So, Paul is illuminating this. In that way, salvation couldn't be any simpler. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, "I, Paul, am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." See, Jesus Christ is so remarkably simple and so remarkably absolute. There are two choices, in Adam and in Christ. But if you've ever been involved in a religion, you go every week, you sit there every week, you hear the crap every week, and you come out of it and you don't know what just happened. You don't know what was said or what it means to your life. This is meaningful to your life. You were born in Adam and you don't have to stay there. You can choose to be in Christ, and once you're in Christ forever. And that is the best thing that ever happened to you. And you have a choice to do it, so you don't have to stay there. In Christ is the way to salvation. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, the Lord encourages us to follow him. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Come to me." See, that's not what we do. When we sin, we don't want to come right back to Christ. When we sin, we automatically impute to Christ that he doesn't like us anymore. And then we want to run from him. We do the same thing with our parents. See, if a kid gets in a scrape, the first thing the kid ought to do is go to the people he trusts, the parents. That should be the first move. Go back to the people you live with. But it's not our mindset. Oh, don't tell mom. Don't tell dad. That whole idea is crazy. It's destructive. If you screw up, go tell dad. God the Father. Go tell him. He wants to know. Excuse me. Tell him immediately. So that's what the Lord is saying here. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What's a yoke? A yoke is a big device that you put around an ox. The funny thing is what Jesus Christ is saying here. He's not saying, take my yoke and put it around you, the ox. This is a two-being yoke. So he's saying, you put on half the yoke, I'll put on the other half, and I'll do all the pulling. You just walk. Take my yoke among you. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You'll find rest for your souls because he's not going to make you do any of the work. He's going to do all the work. He wants to do all the work. He expects to do all the work for you. Why? So that you know a very simple thing, Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, when religions tell you that there are all these requirements for salvation, it's a crock. The requirements are for your money. The requirements are to make you feel lousy so that you contribute a lot of money to try to bail yourself out of the situation. Now, you know, I just got to be honest with you. We're going to do that next year at Barat Ministries. But, you know, no, we're not. We're never going to do that at Barat Ministries. This is voluntary, and it means voluntary that you contribute. Because this place is easy. Because Christ is easy. He loves us. So when you're selecting a boss, it's pretty easy to select a boss. See, Adam brought in sin, and the wages of sin is physical death. That's the payment for sin, physical death. Not your sin, Adam's sin. Adam's sin had to be paid for, and the way it's paid for is that physical death goes to everybody. And I think when I was a kid, that was the thing that used to make me so mad about Adam. Like, why did you do that? And it's my fault now. And in the Hebrew, the way that was expressed is dying, die. Adam, when you mess with this tree, dying, die. You're going to die spiritually, so you're going to have to die physically. And now when Adam sinned, that death passed to us all. So salvation, the freedom from sin and death, or lack of it, comes through your boss's work, not your own. See? When you're in Adam, it was Adam that made it so that you would die physically. And then when you believe in Christ, it's Christ as your federal head, your new chosen federal head, that will make you live the resurrection life, the eternal life. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 put it this way, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die physically once, then after that comes the evaluation. So all the religions who believe in praying for the dead, it's a deception. You die once, that's it. When you die physically, your fate is sealed. Your soul continues to live. It either lives with Christ or it lives in the lake of fire. It's that simple. There's no middle grounds. It's none of that. It's so simple. Because God does everything. He gives you two choices and you get to make one. Very simple. Take a 5-minute break. Welcome back from the rainbow. So, Romans 5:12, therefore the plan of salvation by one single Redeemer is the same as the other plan, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all men were considered by God to have sinned when Adam sinned. Romans 5:13. For until the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, that is, not put into account, put into an account, not charged as due where there is no law. So this was a very interesting couple of verses, Romans 5, 13 and 14. So you can't violate a law if there is no law. So for 2,500 years, from Adam until Moses, even though there was sin, it wasn't credited against anybody's account because there was no Mosaic law. So Adam had rejected a direct order from God, but these people who lived for that 25-year period weren't rejecting anything because God hadn't given them an order. You'll remember in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man, Adam, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die," or dying you will die. Dying spiritually, you will die physically. But from Adam until Moses, there was no law given other than that, no direct order given, therefore no wage was due for sin. Yet death still was passed on to mankind by Adam's act. So the people in the 2,500-year period still had Adam's sin credited to them. So even though their sin, their personal sins were not being credited to them, the sin of Adam was being credited to them, and that was something that made them guilty. And that's what we studied in Romans chapter 3. That's what we studied at the end of Romans chapter 1. That all people, regardless of the time they live, always knew about Jesus Christ because he planted himself in their hearts. He planted himself in them through a conscience. And so they knew there was a right thing and a wrong thing to do. So even though their sins were not credited to them, and boy, those of us who were from systematic theology fame, we would have been flipping our wig over this, right? There were people who didn't get their sins credited to them. Well, how does rebound come into play then? Yeah, it doesn't. Only what God says comes into play. That's what comes into play. So what's the point? Death was passed on to all mankind by Adam's act. The point is that your personal sins are not the same as the sin of the federal head of the human race that condemned you to death. Let me repeat that. Your personal sins are not the same as the sin of the federal head of the human race that condemned you to death. So even those who lived between Adam and Moses did not sin, even though they did not sin by direct disobedience to an order, they got the penalty of physical death anyway from having the wrong boss, Adam. And if they wanted the right boss, Christ, they had a choice just like everybody throughout all of history has had. It's Adam or it's Christ. Now, don't forget, even though there was no law, God put law into man's hearts. That's Romans about 1:19 to Romans 1:30 or so. That in the conscience, mankind has always known, the deity of Christ has always been known in the hearts of men. Even the horoscopes, when you look up in the sky and you see the horoscope signs, the different signs, those signs all tell a story about Christ. Now, of course, that has been distorted into, you know, psychic crap. But even when people looked up in the sky long ago, each of the signs had something to say about Christ. And so people have always known, whether their sin was being credited to them or not, that it was a very simple principle. They were going to die physically, and if they wanted to live forever, it was Christ. God is always known because he is omniscient, the thoughts and intents of people's hearts, even without the law. Romans chapter 5, verse 14 says this, "Nevertheless, physical death still reigned from Adam until Moses." Reigned is a key word there. Reigned means was sovereign. Physical death was sovereign over mankind, even from Adam until Moses, even though their sins were not being credited against them, their personal sins. Even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, in the likeness, a sin in the likeness of the offense of Adam is direct disobedience. A sin in the likeness of the offense of Adam, Adam who is a type of him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come. Adam was a type. What type? The federal head of a race. Jesus Christ is a type to come. The federal head of a race. Adam, federal head of the physical race. The Lord Jesus Christ, federal head of the spiritual race. A very simple point is in view here. In Adam, condemnation. In Christ, righteousness and subsequent justification. Each behaving as a sovereign in this life. Who is your boss? In Adam, sin and death are your sovereign. In Christ, there is righteousness and justification and life from your sovereign. The expression that highlights the source of your benefits in the upcoming verse, by the one. Who is the one that you pick? As we go through the next few verses, it should become abundantly clear why we highlighted all the items of the tale of two. In the next five verses, the next few verses, that is, you'll see the importance of this contrast in Adam or in Christ. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But the free grace gift, and the Greek word for this free grace gift is charisma. What a great word. That's a great word in English. That's an even better word in Greek, charisma. God gives you this grace gift, and what's it called? Charisma. But the free grace gift from God the Father is not like the transgression from Adam. For if by the transgression, by the one, Adam, the many died, and of course they did, much more did the grace of God the Father and the gift by the grace by the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. We have much more reason to expect. That expression, much more, should really stand out in your head. We have much more reason to expect that if a man's error was passed to the many as a free gift, and Adam's error, Adam's sin, was passed to the many as a free gift from the federal head. Very happy about that gift, aren't you? It's like getting coal in your, that's like getting coal in your stockings at Christmas. It has to be much more true that a Savior's gift will pass to the many, and it will provide much more benefit as well. See, that's the thing that was beautiful. So what you should be hearing so far is this from those verses 13 and 14. There was a period of time in the world when sin wasn't being credited to anybody, personal sins weren't being credited to anybody because there was no law. There was that period of time. But because Adam sinned, his sin was passed to everybody during that time. And the result of that sin being passed to them was what? Spiritual death and physical death. Dying, die. Because you got that sin, you're going to die, even though your personal sins were not being counted against you. So, your salvation or lack of it had nothing to do with what you were doing, had everything to do with what your federal heads were doing. If your federal head was Adam, lake of fire. If your federal head was Christ during that time, eternal life. Why? God wanted you to understand something very simple. Your salvation is based on the sovereign that you choose. Who are you going to pick? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. So we have much more reason to expect that if a man's error was passed to the many as a free gift, it has to be much more true that the Savior's gift will pass to the many, and it will provide much more benefit. Now here's the thing that is amazing to me as I contemplate this passage. How could a sinner, an unbeliever, like you were, if you're a believer in Christ, you were at one time a sinner and an unbeliever. How could you ever dare to believe that you could ever be worthy of salvation? How could you ever dare to believe that you would ever be worthy of righteousness? How could you ever dare to believe that you would be worthy of justification? Worthy of sainthood, worthy of a priesthood, worthy of an ambassadorship, worthy of union with Christ, and worthy of a resurrection life. There's nothing in us that would ever be able to entertain the notion that we would be worthy of any of those things. There is no way for us to ever think, to dare to think we could be worthy of those things except the Word of God says so. The Word of our God says, you are worthy of all those things because I say so. And all you have to do to get it is believe in my Son. My Holy Spirit will place you in union with Him, and you'll get everything He gets, and He gets all of that. Saint, priest, ambassador, worthy, resurrection life. It's astonishing when you really stop to think about it. What the Lord has done for us can be described as exceeding and abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think. And that's the same exact description that is used for heaven. A place exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think. That's what your God did for you. He made you worthy. And in heaven, there will be much more of the same. June, that limo that you're going to be driving is going to be the most pimped out car you ever saw in your life. Yeah, you know, I don't know that you know this or not, but most human beings have a radio in their car. I'm just saying. Romans 5:16. The free grace gift, charisma, from God, is not like that which came through the one Adam, who sinned. I'm sorry. The free grace gift, charisma, from God, is not like that which came through the one, Adam, who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation for all. As Adam's sin was passed to all, death passed to all. But on the other hand, the free gift, charisma, arose from many transgressions, your personal sins, resulting in one righteous act of justification by Christ. It's really funny when you think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for our salvation by His blood at the cross. He paid for all of our sins. And after accepting His free gift of salvation, we continue to sin. We continue to do the very thing that He had to remove as a barrier to a relationship with Him and His Father. So we not only are credited with the federal head of the human race's sin, which led to our condemnation, but even our own, as if that weren't enough, we have transgressed direct commands from God ourselves. Double play. There's no way for us to feel persecuted or picked on in light of that. You see, if the sin hadn't been passed on from Adam, you would have still done the thing that would have caused the barrier to erect between God and mankind. So there's no need for you to ever feel picked on. Adam is off the hook. Eve is off the hook from now on. You know that God had a plan. His plan allowed mankind to act independently from Him, allowed angels to act independently from Him. And so there's no more blaming Adam, no more blaming Eve, no more blaming Satan, none of that. Because, quite frankly, if they had all been perfect, you wouldn't be here. Their error allowed you to come. And so you should be grateful to them for that rather than blaming them. But what is your focus is you don't have to die. When you believe in Christ, you'll live forever. You've already died at the cross with Christ, and you'll live forever. So, we not only are credited with the federal head of the human race's sin, which led to our condemnation, but we're even credited with our own sins. We have transgressed direct commands from God ourselves. Romans 5:17 says this, "For if by the transgression by the one, Adam, death reigned through the one, and it did. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the resurrection life through the one, Jesus Christ." So there it is. By the one, Adam, one thing. By the one, Jesus Christ, something different than that. you get to pick. You sit squarely between the two, and you get to pick. What's your choice, in Adam or in Christ? There is no middle ground. Death is a tyrant. Being in Adam makes you the slave to the wrong boss, but you can make a different choice. You can choose a boss who leads you to life. That's what I did. I chose a boss who leads me to life. I want to close with this story. So last night when I got back from Berlin, I was standing by the baggage claim, and there were two guys standing there talking, and one of the guys said to the other, "Did your family sit with you up in first class? Were you able to get them upgraded? And he said, "No, they were sitting in the back with the riffraff." So I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, "Hey, I was sitting by your family. So are you saying that I'm riffraff?" Well, the other guy pretended like he had something to do and walked away. And this guy just looked at me like I was the riffraff that I am and turned back around. He didn't say anything. That kind of stuff happens to me all the time, and I think it's really funny. And the reason I think it's funny is because I'm in Christ. See, none of that stuff fazes me, because there are a lot of people who think that they're better than other people because of the amount of money they make, or the possessions that they have, or the trips they're able to take, or where they sit on a plane. But I'm always wondering what that person is going to be like when they're in front of the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Will they have the credentials that are necessary in that situation? And what I'm happiest about my own life is that I spend my time to communicate to you what those credentials are that you need to have when you have that most important meeting of your life, when you go before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the credentials you need are called in Christ. Father, I believe in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Okay, Joe, tell me about your life. I believed in you. I don't have anything else to say about that." Well, that's quite a resume. That means you have absolute righteousness. You're a saint. You're a priest. You're an ambassador. You're in union with me. You have eternal life. My Father kind of digs you. The Holy Spirit kind of digs you. We set a mansion aside for you. And we even have a crazy-looking woman drive you around in a limo. That's what I wanted to tell my buddy that was standing in front of me who thought that first class was so special. First class isn't that special. But when you're standing in front of Jesus Christ and you say, "I believe in you, I believed in you when I was on the earth," that's the first class that's special. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God makes a promise, it's a guarantee. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God the Father, that he may exalt you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Closing song, that thing we will all do, come into God's presence.
I come into your throne room in a come on bending knees. With you I am in fellowship. Your so great salvation has set me free. By the power of the Holy Spirit, according to your plan, I can come boldly to you as your child held by your hand. Yes, I have come to your presence, Lord, to stay. still small voice and I'll obey as your glory shines upon me, Lord. May I mirror all your ways. Yes, I have come into your presence, Lord, to stay. I have come into your presence, Lord, to stay. I know that you are holy, 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 holy is the Lord. And I offer up my praise to you. You're the one that I adore. Hold to you my everything, the lover of my soul. You renew my thoughts with thoughts divine. Your life and love has made me whole. Yes, I have come into your presence, Lord, to stay. Your still small voice, and I'll obey as your glory shines upon me, Lord. May I mirror all your ways. Yes, I have come to your presence, Lord, to stay.
Father, for the privilege of studying your word, and we thank you for that still small voice that you play inside of us to give us direction. And we pray that this week, as we go through the tribulations, that you have given us so that we might learn. We pray that you turn up the volume of that still small voice, especially at this time when we'll spend a lot of time around family members and a lot of stressful time because of that. We just ask you to calm our souls with your voice and to let us just enjoy the time together with the people that we care about, with our family members, and not really bring up the pettiness that is inherent in this time of the year. And we pray these things through God the Holy Spirit, who pours his enabling power into us, and through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.